Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Molly is at a conference. So in studio as our guest chick today is Deb Scheffel. Deb Scheffel, I've struggled with my kids would come home from school sometimes. And I mean, they had wonderful teachers. I have to say, you know, generally they just had wonderful teachers. And I am the product of a very good public education. But I came out of education with the tools that I had the confidence to, I could read, I could write, I could do arithmetic, all those kinds of things. What is the purpose of education? What do you think it is?
You know, education really, I think, traditionally and still is about the life of the mind. And I think our forefathers envisioned education as something essential for the continuance of our form of government, our freedoms. Unless we have an educated electorate, then they can't think about issues and vote in a responsible way, so that our whole system is really predicated on the importance of a good education, so that people can think through complex issues and preserve freedom and have a governance system that allows us to live free.
Well, and I think it really, it goes to the individual to answer the big questions. I guess to me, I'm like, who am I? You know, why are we here? What am I to do? You know, we have a purpose to be here, but you're much more eloquent when you talk about those three things.
You know, I think that sometimes we think very pragmatically about education, and it's important to be pragmatic. Education gives us a path for employment, but it also is about deeper questions about identity, significance, and destiny, ultimate questions about life that you just referenced. We want our kids to understand why they're here, where they're going, what the purpose is. And I think those deeper questions enliven education and push it beyond just the pragmatism of being able to get a job when you're finished with school. Of course, learning's a lifelong enterprise.
You know, so I'm reading books. I have a lot of books. One of my kids said, if you looked at the square footage in our house, there's a lot of books, and I hope I live long enough to read all of them.
Right.
But there's something about, and reading good books, that's another thing that, you know, just to read a book, you know, I really struggle with that. I and I know that we need to read for enjoyment, but I think that it's important to read things to continue to expand the mind, to think about these big issues. And it's not an elite and the bourgeois kind of situation. I mean, the American idea realized that every person had, I think, within them this greatness, this excellence to be the best person that they can be.
Right. And, you know, reading is such an important skill. It's so essential that all our kids have a mastery of that skill, because it's the vehicle through which we seek truth and significance. We find ideas that are relevant from the past, and we develop new ideas that launch us into the future. When we look at our achievement scores in Colorado, we're somewhat disappointed with some of that. We look at that over across our state, and only 40% of our students in the third grade can read at a proficient or advanced level. And we have the same issue in math. 39% in third grade are proficient or advanced in that area. And, of course, reading and math are just the core of the skills that students need to be able to expand their minds and to learn in content areas. So that's an area where we have a lot of work to do in Colorado. Other states have similar issues, but our students need to be able to read so that they can seek answers to ultimate questions in life and have a rich mind life and ultimately, of course, become employed and have a successful ability to be part of our culture and our economy.
I was asked to do a speech at a middle school recently, and it was regarding entrepreneurship. And I walked into this classroom, and this teacher, she reminded me of the teachers that I had. It was a classroom that just felt rich, and she was bringing different entrepreneurs in to teach kids about entrepreneurship, but she was also teaching life skills, you know, how to balance a checkbook, how to run a household. And I think in some ways we have gotten away from that. Molly and I, over the last 3 years, have had the great honor to MC the U.S. Constitution Week up in Grand Lake. And a couple of years ago, we'd gone out to dinner after one of the events, and we always ask for separate checks because we don't get the same thing. And the waitress forgot. And so I just got out my pen and pencil, and I was just going through, and Molly had this, I had this, you know, this is the tax, this is, and the server said, well, what are you doing? I said, oh, we're just figuring out the bill. And she was a college student, and she said, oh, I could never do that. I'm an English major. I about fell off my chair.
Right.
You know, we need to be able, even if you don't like math, math is something that you use every day. And whether or not you know, your dream is to be a dancer or to create video games or what, you need to have those skills so that you can make sure that, you know what your bank account looks like, right? Because you need to make sure that you're healthy there so that you can go after your hopes and dreams.
Right. And it kind of implies the role of technology in education. And the reason why many kids have difficulty with that is because they're using calculators and they're not really understanding the underpinnings of math. And the same can be said for other subjects. So technology is great, but if it becomes a replacement for understanding basic skill areas, math, reading, writing, then it really doesn't serve our kids well, because they may not always have technology to take the place of their own thinking.
Great point. If the electricity goes out and you can't write a sentence or do some kind of a math problem, we've got a problem.
Right.
One of the other things that Molly and I do, Deb, is we have a World War II project where we interview World War II veterans. And when you think about these guys, when they went over to, on their missions, their bombing missions, they didn't have GPS. You know, they actually used, slide rules and calculations, and a navigator had to try to figure out, you take off from here and you're going to fly, 6-7 hours, and you're going to try to pinpoint a certain spot. And they did not have much technology to do that. And they could do that. I'm not sure that we can now.
No, I think that's true. And it's really important that our kids master these skills, know how to apply them, and they can use technological tools, but they're not dependent on them wholly.
Okay.
It's really important.
Let's go to break, because that leaves hanging that big question out there. Your comments regarding only 40% of third graders here in Colorado can read at a proficient or better level, and only 39% of third graders are proficient in math. We spend a lot of money on education, and I'm not liking those results so much. So what can we do about that? What is the vision of the Department of Education here in Colorado? So let's go to break, and we will be talking more with our guest chick, Deb Scheffel, who is a member of the Colorado Department of Education.
Thank you.
Be right back. Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. I'm Kim Munson. Molly Vogt is at a conference today. So in studio is our guest chick, Deb Scheffel. She is a professor. She is on the Colorado Board of Education and has some big questions that I want to ask you here, Deb. Preparation for our kids. You and I talk to a lot of moms and dads out there and people that don't have kids in the school system right now. And I would say across the spectrum, people want a good education for their children. But we're having some challenges here in Colorado with our achievement results.
Yes, we are. And we just talked about those metrics for math and for reading in Colorado, those scores released recently for 2018. And it really does not serve our students well when their scores are not carrying them into adulthood with the tools necessary
right.
for success. There's no employer that wants...
If you can't read and write and do arithmetic, you're in trouble.
That's basic, right? Employers really struggle with that level of preparation. We need our kids to be highly prepared for the jobs that they are going to seek and for life.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's going on? What's going on? That's one question. And what can the Board of Education do about that here in Colorado?
Well, we have to sort of think of the root causes. And when we think of... reading and math scores, it's about, all the research says really, what goes on in classrooms with teachers, between teachers and kids. That's the best leverage point. So what is going on in classes? Teachers love other people's children. They go into teaching for altruistic reasons. They're very committed. How can we support them better so that they can be more successful with our kids? And really, the research suggests that direct, explicit instruction in reading, for example, in the constituent parts of reading, which would include vocabulary, comprehension, phonics, fluency, being able to read with automaticity, those are the things that really will carry kids into success in the area of reading. And of course, reading is a gateway skill mm-hmm. for every other content area, history, science, economics, civics, everything else. So we have to do that well, and we're not doing it as well as we need to by large margins. So we have to supply teachers with the right support so that they can teach in that way, so that they have great materials with which to do that, and that they understand the pedagogies or the teaching techniques that work. And I think there's culpability there in teacher prep programs. We need to do a better job in our teacher prep programs in Colorado. And then we need, once students get into the classroom, to support them with the kind of professional development and tools so that they can be successful.
Well, now, is more money going to solve this problem?
More money does not solve this problem. I've worked in many grant programs where we tried to provide grantee schools with additional funds, and that really didn't solve the problem. Obviously, education needs a threshold of support for it to be successful, but in Colorado, I think our average is about $8,000 per student. I think the funds are there. The question is, how can we ensure that the instructional fidelity is there? I met with some parents yesterday whose students were struggling with reading, and it's a classroom instructional issue. It's a fidelity issue in terms of how can we ensure that real explicit systematic teaching is taking place, certainly at least in this core area of reading instruction.
Okay, now you just said a number. You said about $8,000 per student.
Right.
And I've looked at per student funding across the nation. Actually, I'm going back, it seems like it was Baltimore. I mean, they were at least, I think, $15,000 per student, and their results are abysmal.
Right.
So there doesn't seem to be a direct correlation. But so is that the total that we spend per student average in Colorado is $8,000?
It's average, but some districts spend more. Right, but okay. It's an average number.
Okay, so let's think about this, though. So $8,000 per student. So if you have a classroom of 25, that's funding of about $200,000 per student. There's no way that that teacher is getting paid that. And I think that we agree that our good teachers need to be paid more.
Right.
Where's all that other money going?
Yeah, when we look at those statistics, a lot of the additional funds go to administrative costs, and it's just because there's a heavy regulatory burden in Colorado and around the nation in teaching. And so there's a need for people to do all these reports, and there's all this administrative work, and yet that money doesn't get into the classroom. It doesn't support the teachers. It doesn't lead directly to enhanced quality in our classrooms, and it needs to. You know, putting additional staff at the upper level where they're not in the classroom really doesn't help enhance the quality of education.
Well, and we can see that with the results, which you
right.
were just talking about regarding the reading level for third graders, proficient or better is only 40%, and in math, only 39%. Deb, we're letting our kids down.
We really are, yes, and we really need to do what we can to enhance the quality in our classroom so that our kids are prepared for the future. There's a law that was passed in 2009, Senate Bill 09163. That was the Educational Accountability Act. And just yesterday, the state board moved to work with Adams 14 and Pueblo City Schools to ask them, because of long-term intractable underachievement in their schools, to essentially turn over, in the case of Adams, formal decision-making authority to a management company. So there are stipulations in the law that say,
If you're not getting
the job done, we really need to bring in some additional outside help, if that's what it takes. In the case of Adams 14, there are 7,500 students in that district and 13 schools. And what is happening to those kids if they have 8 years of low achievement over time and it's not getting better? We know the leverage points. It's all about teachers in classrooms and instruction and accountability. And so a law like this, I think, helps us, but it also can be kind of late for some of these kids. You don't get a second chance at fourth grade.
Right.
You get one chance.
And I think it's almost a crime that we are letting kids get through school without these skills. Now, there's always the comment regarding things are not good at home, that the kids it's because of where they live that they're having troubles. But there's stories across the spectrum. I mean, Abraham Lincoln, he didn't have necessarily the greatest home life. I think that he was estranged from his father, and he would work hard all day, and then he could read at night by candlelight. Or there's Frederick Douglass, was a slave that became, he could read and he became educated, and he actually was a consultant to presidents. So I'm not sure that I buy into this, you know, your home life, your culture where you're, you know, I'm not sure I buy into that. I think that every kid has the ability deep inside them to be great. And when I say great, maybe the striving for excellence.
I totally agree. And really, language, mastering language and the language of learning can easily outpace contextual and familial and socioeconomic issues in a person's life. And this is why the stories that you've just referenced make sense, because people that are highly motivated, that master the language of achievement, can do very well, can think through the goals they have in life, can master the skills necessary, and can move into success and greatness. And that's very encouraging. We don't have to be victimized by whatever context we're born into.
Okay. Now, we only have just a few minutes left, but I have to tell you, Deb, one of the things that I think personally that has been to the detriment of our kids in education is group projects. When I grew up, there was competition. There were spelling bees. We would have competitions on our multiplication tables. And I think that made us better. What I've seen, there's now group projects, which I feel is kind of indoctrinating towards socialism, because you have a whole group and some people don't do the work. And the people that are highly motivated and they want to make sure they get a good grade, they do the work. And I don't like the message of group projects. So what would you say to that?
Well, that's a certain kind of instructional technique or approach. It comes out of social learning theory. It's very popular. And there are real problems with implementing it, because we do want individuals. In the end, we're often in situations where we have to individually show our competence. And if kids get in the habit of depending on the stronger students in the group because of their personality or gregariousness or skill set or whatever, that can be a problem. We want all of our kids to be highly competent and able to be successful. So that group project approach, cooperative learning, all of that, there's some good things about it. You know, we often bounce off of each other as adults and learn from each other. That's great. But if we don't also teach individual mastery, it can be a problem when you're in a situation and you don't have anybody to really partner with.
Wow. Okay, well, we have a couple of minutes left. Deb Scheffel, we're going to have you back. So next time Molly's traveling, I'll have to give you a call. Okay?
Great.
But what would you say to that mom, that dad, that busy person out there that they really want the best education for their child? What would you say to them today?
You know, I just think it's so essential that parents are involved and that they know what their kids are learning. You know, and it's great that parents have choice in Colorado. We know that not every school situation works for every child. Certainly what works in third grade doesn't work in ninth grade. And parents are deeply concerned about their kids and their future. And it's important for parents to know, what are your kids learning? What are they reading? Who are their friends? How are they learning to think about life? And seek out the choices in Colorado: online options, charter options, traditional public school options, homeschool options. Look for the option that's right for your child at whatever point he or she is developmentally, and stay engaged.
You know, that stay engaged is really key. And I think that people think that as their kids grow up and they kind of look like they have adult bodies, they're not there yet. I mean, it is a process to make sure that you stay engaged. As you mentioned, you know, what are they learning? Stay engaged. Know who their friends are. And I think, you know, we talk about how important it is to be home with, you know, toddlers. And I think that's great. But it's really important once your kids get to junior high and high school and even college to stay engaged. And so I think that's probably one of the big nuggets. So Deb Scheffel, you are a professor. You teach teachers out at Colorado Christian University, as well as you are on the Colorado Board of Education. And I rest a little easier every night knowing that you're doing that.
Thank you. It's a great privilege to serve.
So great to have you here. A quote today is George Washington. He said, "Government is not reason. It is not eloquent. It is force. And like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." So we need to be sure to go back to the basics on these things. So we are the AmeriChicks. Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. We do this every Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 a.m. with encore broadcast in the afternoon. Deb Scheffel, thank you so much. Steve, thank you so much for your good work on the boards. God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you. But tell them if I don't serve.